We've been studying the book of Moses, and the last time we looked at it, we looked at the plagues that God brought upon Egypt. And we went through up to the ninth one. We got up to the tenth plague, and up to this point, all the plagues that God brought against Egypt, they were not against man. They were against the gods that Egypt worshipped. I think it's very interesting when you get studying that, that all those plagues were brought against their gods that they worshipped. And when we get to this final and tenth plague, it's against Egypt itself. And we're going to be looking at the 10th plague and the Passover this morning. If you find your scriptures, we're going to be in the book of Exodus, chapter 11 and 12, and in Psalms 105. I think that'll pretty well get you covered. Second book in the Bible, and then a book of Psalms in the middle of the Bible. I think I got one verse in Proverbs, but... lesson entitled this morning would be obedience. Obedience. If you look at the main theme in these chapters 11 and 12, that's what it's talking about. Even though it brings out the Passover, that's the main point in both of these chapters is obedience. Let's read in God's Word, chapter 11, verses 1 and 2 of Exodus. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go whence he shall let you go. He shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Verse 2, speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of his neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. The scripture here tells us that not only was Pharaoh going to let them go, but it says he's going to thrust them out. In other words, he's going to kick them out, and these Hebrew people, they're slaves at this time, and they were. It says in verse 2 that they were to borrow of his neighbor, every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. It actually means and that they were to ask and they were to go to these Egyptian people, and they were to ask them for the silver and gold, and he doesn't tell them why they're going to need that. You know, I think that's an interesting point. As you look at some of these scriptures, God tells them to do certain things, and he doesn't tell them why. And I think the same thing will apply in our lives today, that sometimes God will tell you to do something, and you're not going to see the why. But we need to be obedient and listening to God's word. So basically, when they go to, he tells them that he's going to bring one more plague. They're going to let them go, and then they're going to be making a withdrawal from their ATM machine. I mean, basically, that's what it is. Let's look at verse 3. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. To me, that scripture right there is very encouraging, because if you remember a couple of chapters back, the people were, I mean, they hated Moses. Both the Egyptians, the Egyptian rulers, and the Hebrew people, they had a hard time with Moses. They had bad feelings against him. But now he was greatly esteemed. He was greatly favored, and why? Because Moses, through all this, he was the only one that he stood alone, and he trusted God. He obeyed God, and the Lord gave him favor in these people's eyes. Remember the scripture that we had in Proverbs a few weeks back about that. When a man's Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. When you're standing for what the Lord wants you to stand for, it's even going to make your enemies be at peace with you. And that's what happened here with Moses. Now we're going to look at five facts here in this next scripture in Exodus that that Moses told them. And we're going to be in verses 4 through 8. And I want to point out one thing here. He says, and Moses said, but then what does it say after that? Thus saith the Lord. He was telling them what the Lord had told him. Let's look at these five facts here. In verse 4, and Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. In other words, he's telling them that something is going to happen at midnight. In verse 5, and all, remember the word all? There it is again. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beasts. So even the animals, the firstborn of the animals. So the second fact there that he gives us, verse 5, is that all of Egypt, all their firstborn is going to die, including the beasts. Verse 6, and there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. In other words, there was going to be national distress here. That was the fourth fact, or the third fact. You know, I know I've read this scripture several times, but you know, I just never had really dawned on me that the scene that takes place, or that's going to be taking place here. Just think about this. It says the firstborn of every family, and there's going to be a great cry. You know, I remember last year when I lost my son Josh. And when I got the call at work, and I came home, and when I walked in there and seen him laying on that bed, and I picked him up, his lifeless body, in my arms, you know, and that cry, that wail that came out of me, it almost, you know, shocked me. You know what I mean? It was kind of thrown back for a minute, you know, when I read this scripture now, I realize that great cry that they were talking about. You know, and to me, it brings out new meaning to that scene. I can picture it in my eyes and my mind of this national distress that is going on. It's going to be in every family. Now, let's read on verse 7. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. In other words, Israel is going to be protected. There's going to be a difference here in God's people. We're going to find out a little bit later that difference is the blood. Interesting there in that verse that it says not even a dog will move his tongue against them. I mean, can you imagine all this scene that's going to take place, this death and destruction and all these people crying and wailing, and there's not even going to be a dog barking. Verse 8, and all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all thy people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. In other words, there will be an exodus. So the five facts he gives them is there's going to be something happening at midnight. All the firstborn of Egypt is going to die. There will be a national distress. And Israel will be protected. God's people will be protected. And there will be an exodus. Let's read on, preparing for an exodus. Chapter 12, we're going to read verses 1 through 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Verse 3, speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. In verse 4, and if a household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Verse 6, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Verse 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And he tells them that every household is to kill a lamb, or to take a lamb that's without blemish. Tells them they're to kill it, even tells them when to kill it, what to do with it, and tell them how to cook it, and even how to eat it. Can you, I just want you to think about this just for a minute. Can you think in your mind of something like that has never happened before? I mean, they've never even heard of it. Just think about if you did not have no Bible, you had never read none of this in the Bible, and then all of a sudden, the leader of your nation comes to you and tells you that's what you're to do and gives you all these instructions. Take a lamb, one per family. And the families that were too small, they were to get together with these other smaller families and share a lamb. And they were to take that blood's lamb and they were to smear it on the doorpost, on the sides, and on the top. You see, when you read this, this scripture right here, he tells them what to do, but he didn't tell them why to this point. He just told them what to do. So, you know, there's that word obedience. They had to be obedient when he tells them or told them what to do. The instructions that he had laid out there, he didn't give them a reason for it at this point. So they were to be obedient. So what would happen as a result of their obedience to his command? Let's go to chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So now he tells them what's going to happen if they do not apply the blood of the lamb to their door. And in verse 11, he even tells them how they are to eat it. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. He wanted them to be, in other words, they were to eat it and be ready to move. There was going to be an exodus. You know, when I think about that, when I read this passage of Scripture here, you know what I think about? I think about the rapture that's coming. You better be ready because there is an exodus and it's going to happen. And when it happens, it's going to happen fast. And you better have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your heart. That you stop and think about this right here now. History was being made that night. This is not only a book in the Bible, an account of what happened, but it's actually history being made right here that very night. And why? Why was history being made? Because the people believed God's word. And they not only believed it, but they obeyed it. Now, let's read on a little further in chapter 12. Let's jump down to verse 25. And it shall come to pass, when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head, and they worshiped. You know, that's a very strong message for us as parents and as grandparents. We have, as aunts and uncles, we have a very, very important assignment here. That's to helping our children understand. Understand why we do what we do. Understand why we read our Bible. Understand why we pray. So I ask you a question this morning. Are you living by example? These things of prayer and reading the Bible? Are your children and your grandchildren just seeing that you do it here at church? Or are they seeing it in the home? When that child asks, why do we pray? When I go to Billy's house, they don't pray. Why do we go to church? Sometimes when we go to church, why do we eat crackers and juice? You need to be ready to help your children and your grandchildren understand. Understand the why behind your Christian walk. Understand the why behind your faith. Understand why you believe what you believe. Why? So they can pass it on. Obedience. Obedience, obedience, obedience. That's what all this scripture is about. And I believe so many times that our struggle is not knowing the will of God. It's being obedient to that God whose will it is. It's not that we don't know or we don't understand, but it is that we don't want to follow through. We want to do things our way. And one thing I want to point out this morning. Obedience is not a feeling. You realize that? Think about that. Obedience is not a feeling. There's sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, there's sometimes that I don't feel like preaching. There is sometimes that you may not feel like teaching. There are sometimes that you may feel like not coming and helping with Awanas. There is sometimes that you may not feel like helping somebody that has a need that you can fulfill. But obedience is not a feeling. It's not about how I feel this morning. It's about being obedient to God. Amen? It's the same thing applies in your life. It's not about a feeling. It's about being obedient to God and God's Word. It's not about how you feel this morning or how you felt yesterday morning. It's about being obedient to God's Word. There may be times that you don't feel like being obedient to your wedding vows. You realize that? She'd probably shoot me for sharing this, but when I was having so much trouble after I had this done, my wife helped me to the bathroom, and I was sitting on the... I was doing my thing on the bathroom, and wife comes in there and checks on me, and she says, is there anything I can help you with? And I was like, you know, struggling with my paperwork, and I said, yeah, there is. And she looks at me for a minute, and she says, well, I don't know what to tell you. You know? There's sometimes we don't feel like being obedient to our wedding vows. You know, when you're having an argument, when there's things going on in your life, when there's all this turmoil and chaos, there's going to be times that you don't feel like being faithful to your wife. But obedience is not a feeling. And it's the same thing in our relationship with God. It doesn't matter how we feel like, what we feel like, the important thing is about being obedient. Amen? See, our feelings, they change from day to day. I know mine does. I mean, when you're in your spiritual walk, you can be up here and down here and up here and down here. I mean, you're not going to be on a spiritual high all the time. You're not going to feel like being obedient to God every day. But it does not matter how you feel. Obedience is obedience. You can't mark it down any other way. I want to point out to you once again, this, like Moses said, thus saith the Lord. This is not what Dennis said. Dennis is saying, thus saith the Lord. Amen. Now let's back up. Now I'm going to close. I got one more scripture. Psalms 105. Verses 37-39. This is what David wrote about this. This is very interesting. He's talking about the Exodus. Verse 37, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering and a fire to give light in the night. Of all those people making that exodus out of Egypt, said there was not one that stumbled. There wasn't one feeble person. There wasn't one that was weak among them. Now let's look at verse 43. And he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness. You know, when I read that word joy just really jumped out at me. You know, I want to think about something just for a minute. Think about the time that you came to know Jesus. That joy, that peace that you experienced. You know, when you heard the good news and somebody, a preacher or a friend or a coworker, explained God's provision for the sin in your life, and for the first time you actually understood what it meant. When you, the first time that you realized that it was really for you. That joy. When you realize, when somebody explained it, and for the first time, suddenly it made sense. That joy. You remember them moments? You left Egypt behind. You left your chains. They were in bondage. Same thing happened when you received Christ. You left those chains of sin that you were hooked to, in those years of slavery to that sin. And you began to taste of God's provision in your life. And I want to encourage you, as young Christians, do not get discouraged. It's not a bolt of lightning that happens overnight. It's a continual progress. And if you keep being obedient and studying God's Word and have that desire in your heart to be obedient to Him, you're going to look back in a few months and you're going to think, man, I can't believe what's happening in my life. You're going to start realizing God's provision for you. You're going to start drinking from that well of His grace. Let me tell you something. Nothing ever tasted no sweeter or no more refreshing than when you start experiencing God's grace in your life. So it's not over. See, his plan was to get you in His family. That's plan A. And plan B is getting you out of Egypt. But that plan B includes the word obedience. I want to ask you something this morning. He gave them certain instructions of what they were to do. They were to take a lamb without blemish, and they were to put that blood around their door on the sides and on the top. Years later, you know what happened at this precise moment in time as a Passover? Anyone? What happened at the same time as the Passover? Yes, amen. Jesus died on the cross. He was that perfect lamb. That lamb without blemish. See, that's what the Passover stood for. It looked to the coming Messiah, the coming Christ. There had to be an atonement for the sin that you committed. There had to be that blood shed, and that blood has to be applied. You see, that's what being born again is. When you realize that that's personal, that what He did for you on the cross, you say, Brother Dennis, I want to apply that blood to my life. I want to apply that blood to my door of my heart. That's when He comes into your heart and life. And that's when things change. Because see, if you haven't done that, you're just playing church. You're just playing religious stuff. But it's not about that. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And if you have not applied that blood to your life, I encourage you to do so today. See, there's another interesting thing about this story. Just because that blood was on the door didn't mean that everyone in there was saved. If you'll go back and read that, everyone had to partake of the lamb. I ask you this morning, have you partaken of that lamb? Have you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior?